Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Exciting. That was expected, unexpected. Happy Black Saturday, I guess, is how we're going to do this. Pride of Detroit PODcast. Thanks for watching on Twitch, YouTube, downloading the podcast everywhere. We're going to make this one a quick one. We're going to have more thoughts on a full podcast here in a little bit, but we need to get in here with the news right away. Strike while the iron's hot. Cash in. You guys want to talk about it. Everyone here wants to talk about it. The biggest Black Friday savings are out. I have my eyes on an Instant Pot. Jeremy, what about you?
I just want to talk Lions football, Chris, if I'm being completely honest. I don't care about
consumerism. No, I know. Dumb joke of mine. Everyone's here for the same thing. The Boston boys got fired. Bob Quinn, general manager, Bob Quinn, head coach, Matt Patricia, both out the door in Detroit. Coming a few days, people were anticipating it. Saturday is an interesting day to do it, but we are here and we're going to talk about it. I've got my guy, Jeremy Reisman, the fearless leader at Detroit on Lion. Ryan Matthews, the rock god at Ryan_POD. Mike Payton is joining us as well. Hello, Mike. And I am Christopher Fett, your adequate host. And we are going to make this one real quick. So Matt Patricia is fired. Jeremy, first floor goes to you because we've got a lot to go on. Offensive coordinator Darrell Bevell is now your interim head coach for the time being, and the Lions are now in the market for a whole brand new front office. Rod Wood is being retained as president, but honestly, everything else is up in the air right now as the Boston era, the Patriot way, is completely done in Detroit.
Yeah. It was something we all knew was going to come. It was just, as we've said many times, it was just a matter of when. I think this was an appropriate time. They got a day to think about it. There's some rumors going around that maybe they took the extra day to think about Bob Quinn's future, which to me is maybe a little bit concerning that wasn't as obvious as Bob Quinn's fate. But either way, they got the right move done. It happened. Interim coach to me is not a big deal at all. I don't care if this team turns it around in the final month and a half of the season. I don't care if Braden Coombs wasn't the one that gets the shot and it was Darrell Bevell, a guy who's been around a lot longer. It kind of seems to make more sense to me that they went with what they did. I don't view this day as celebratory as a lot of people. I think this is honestly more a day of a mourning for me, not for Matt Patricia or anything, but just realizing this, you know, this is where we've come to as a franchise where we have to hit the reset button all over again. And to me, that's never a good thing. I know this team wasn't headed in the right direction. I know everyone had rightfully lost faith in where we were going, but we're at the bottom again. And that to me isn't a day of celebration. That's a day of mourning.
It is an epoch change. Ryan, this was our first chance seeing Sheila Ford Hamp in action. She handled the press conference on this. Was there anything she said that you took away that was important to you?
I would defer that to Mike because he got a chance to see a lot of the press conference that I didn't get to see. So is there anything that Sheila Ford Hamp really did?
We should also make a note that it's extremely, extremely disappointing that the Lions didn't live stream this. I don't know why they didn't. That's a huge misstep. I mean, right now, these are the people that needed to hear this. The reason you make a midseason change is so that the fans are pleased and they don't even get to see your announcement. I know they carried it on NFL Network eventually, but the fact that the Lions didn't live stream that is ridiculous.
Did they even announce it? Because I didn't even see anywhere that it was on NFL Network until like it was halfway over with. Nope. So yeah, I mean, let's put that one
just
on Rod Wood.
We'll get to once him. Again. Yeah. We'll get to him in a little bit, Mike. So you do have thoughts from the Sheila Ford Hamp being out there. So go ahead. What do you got for me?
Yeah, I think the thing that stuck out to me the most was her simply saying we can't hide our past, which is I thought that was a big step. I mean, know it doesn't seem like a big step, but when you consider how much we know about this family and how much we've actually seen this family talk in the past, what, 10 years? I mean, to hear somebody come out from the family, the owner, and say that they're aware of how bad they've been, that's kind of an uplifting thing, I guess you can say. I think that was probably the biggest thing that I took from it, other than, you know, some other things that I'm sure that we're gonna talk about at some point here today.
Yeah, let me go ahead and piggyback off what Mike just said, though. I think, you know, you saw a lot of people on Lions Twitter, especially on Lions Twitter, talk about there wasn't a benefit to Detroit firing Patricia and firing Quinn now in terms of, you know, getting a head start on a coaching search or a GM search or whatever it may be. But I think what Mike said is so important, because it's time for the Lions to turn a new leaf, and it's also time for them to do something. Like, they needed to do something to appease their fan base, and that's what firing Matt Patricia and firing Bob Quinn does. Is, yeah, I'm right there with Jeremy. Like, I'm not super excited and happy to see Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn get fired, because these were the guys that were packaged as the team that was going to, you know, have the Lions take the next step. They weren't those people. And now the Lions are back at square one. They're literally back at square one, and they might even be further back in the process if we're being honest.
Yeah, we were talking even like on the podcast from, you know, Panthers. We were talking on Panthers, like, first shutout since 2009. The difference here between those old days is you at least have a quarterback, but I mean, you don't know how many more years you're going to really have Stafford in his prime here. And with the amount of talent that's kind of been chased away, you are kind of, Jeremy, looking at a pretty much a pretty long process to rebuild, to get people in here to do things the right way. And you got to, you know, once again, do it. You've got to make that right hire, or else you're going to still be kind of stuck in the limbo of a aborted rebuild.
Yeah. And if I'm being completely wholeheartedly honest, I did not come away feeling optimistic after Sheila Fordham's press conference. I didn't. I would love to say that, you know, she sounded like someone with a direct plan and, you know, knew what she's looking for and all that sort of stuff. But I mean, she admitted up top, like, you guys are going to have a lot of questions for that I don't have answers for. And that's understandable. I mean, she just made the move to fire him. But there are a lot of things that were really concerning to me. One was that she said, you know, she didn't really make up her mind until the last two games, you know, the Panthers blowout and then Thanksgiving. She thought the Lions were still in the playoff race after that. No, this was over well before those two games. I'm sorry. Like, no, if you weren't thinking about firing those two, and maybe she admitted it was in the back of her head, but like, that was the last straw to me. Like, I've said it before, that Minnesota game where they got blown out, that was the end for me, especially coming off the Colts game. And so to me, it seemed like she was holding on a little too long to this group and whatever. Either way, we got to the same point. But basically, when anyone asked about what her plans would be, you know, it was just like, we're going to explore every avenue. We're going to maybe hire a firm, maybe not. Maybe use the NFL's help, maybe not. And it's just, I wish I had heard something a little more definitive in her. Something that sounded like a definitive plan other than, yeah, we're going to try everything. Well, yeah, great. That's what we expect of you. But what sort of people are you looking for? Who, you know, have you started anything at this point? Or you're just like, no, me and Rod, which again, let's get to Rod Wood in a minute here, because he again seems to be at the forefront of these decisions that are about to be made. And that's not the business side of the ball, like he said he would stay on. So I don't know. I'm obviously going to wait and see at this point, but you know, I was hoping for something a little more confident, authoritarian, maybe that's not exactly the right word for it, but just like something that
firm,
gave me a
leadership
sense, firm. Yes. Something firm that made me feel like she knew what she was doing, because I didn't get that. It was just a bunch of soft language. Like, yeah, we'll try. Great.
So before I get on to another question I have here, and then we'll wrap up the segment with that last thing, but I want to go around the room. How did Mike, Ryan, how did either of you guys feel about what Sheila Ford then to what Jeremy's saying? Was it the words of a strong leadership there, or is it just needs work to be shown?
I mean, I have in my notes, it's pretty much exactly what Jeremy said. It's a lot of corporate speak. It's a lot of, well, you know, we we have attributes that we're looking for, but they're not clearly defined. But then they were defined, but now they're again, they're not clearly defined. There was just a lot of, it's like they weren't prepared to do this press conference at all. They knew they were going to fire Matt Patricia. They knew they were going to fire Bob Quinn, and they're just like, oh, we got to do a press conference too. And then they just kind of came out and said a bunch of stuff. I mean, that's really, you know, there was definitely some things to take away from that, as I mentioned earlier. And especially with the Rod Wood stuff and the power structure thing that they were talking about, which I'm sure we'll get into. But yeah, this just did not, I didn't come away optimistic. It's looking bleak.
Ryan, are you making it threefer on the panel here, or do you dissent?
As I said earlier, I didn't get a chance to see any of the press conference, so I'm going to defer to Jeremy and Mike on that. And to be honest, if you would have asked me going into this press conference if she was going to be firm, if she was going to come out with a plan, I would have been hopeful that she would come out and not be so wishy-washy as Jeremy's kind of alluding to, like, you know, not having, you know, her ducks in a row. Like, I feel like if you're going to have this press conference, and if you've been thinking about this for the past couple of games, I would really hope that you would have come out and said, yep, like, we're going to hire a firm and they're going to help us do our coaching and GM search and this and that. Like, just saying that you're going to explore every avenue is par for the course, man.
Yeah. Jeremy, can just as a question then to you before I get on to, I think we'll have one or two more questions and we'll take a break and we'll talk on the other side about more about what comes next for the Lions. But how would you compare this then in your mind? Like, because I still remember Martha Firestone Ford coming down. You know, we didn't get a long press conference for her. She didn't really take questions. But when she did come out, the reaction from the fan base was, this was Martha, you know, she was on fire. She had a mission. She had her ducks in a row. Is that a huge, like, contrast, you would say, to this? Or do you kind of see, you know, I mean, maybe, yeah.
It's
hard. Is that a myth we made of Martha?
It's kind of hard to, yeah, I feel like that's maybe more of a myth that we made. Because, I mean, she also fired the team president, right? Like, she tore down the structure midseason, and that's something we hadn't seen from this organization. So Sheila, in essence, is kind of following in those same footsteps. And to her credit, she's also, you know, been in front of the media and talked for a long time. So it's kind of hard to compare the two situations in terms of their reactions to it. Again, I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach to see if, you know, she goes through the right motions. I think the most optimistic thing she said was, as Mike alluded to, the power structure thing and how they're still kind of looking into that. And maybe that means hiring someone that's going to help them along the way, you know, full term. Because like I said, and again, we keep saying we're going to talk about it. The whole Bob Quinn thing is maybe, or the Rod Wood thing is maybe the one thing that is really a stick in my craw right now. But overall, I mean, I don't want to trash on it too much. You know, this is, as she said, this is a super weird year. She's only 4, 5, 6 months into her job. She couldn't do anything hands on this year, unfortunately, just due to the circumstances, everything. But I guess I was just expecting a little bit more today.
Yeah. So I want to handle Rod Wood on the other side. Here's my last question here for the three of you. I want all of you to weigh in before we jump to break on this, because we've got a lot to talk on the other side. The reaction of Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia being fired was instant, and especially from former players, they weighed in. And it's even from some players who I hadn't even heard talking before this. A'shaun Robinson saying, you get what you deserve. And, you know, we saw Darius Slay out there. You know, Darius Slay's been vocal, of course. Travis Fulgham weighed in. Ezekiel Ansah weighed in. A whole bunch of Lions weighing in, saying things I've never, like, I wasn't even expecting for some of them. And some of them were against Bob Quinn, too. So yeah. I guess my question, yeah.
Our good friend Eric Ebron had to weigh in.
Of course he did.
Quote,
absolutely, of course he did.
He fired me and lit a fuel I'll never forget. I'm thankful for his sorry ass.
Hey, man, positivity. You've grown as a person, thankful. I guess, Eric.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can say something's positivity when you say, when you call him a sorry ass, but that's as positive as you're going to get from Eric Ebron.
Absolutely. I guess, Jeremy, my question to you, I'll start with you, and then I want all of you to weigh in. Like, and I already see our Twitch chat kind of reacting, saying we're not, you know, nothing's pleasing us here. Guys, like, it's happy that we've hit this next step, but the next step is a pretty broad one. But back to my question, Jeremy, I think one of the lasting legacies from Quintricia, from the Boston Boys, whatever you want to call them, is that Detroit's reputation as a place where good players should go. I mean, it wasn't great to begin with, but Caldwell, you always heard from Caldwell, people like playing for him and everything. And we've seen so many reports afterwards about how many players have hated working with these guys. This is a massive reputation blow to the, for the Detroit Lions, between the Detroit Lions and players, not fans sitting out there, not the media that wants to trash the Lions or get off the quick jokes, players. Like, Detroit is just not a place that they, we hear all the time about agents telling their players, you don't want to go to Detroit. How bad is the damage to the Lions' reputation with players, and how the hell can they even fix it right now?
I mean, you fix it with a good hire. You fix it with maybe a player's coach, and those are decisions they'll have to make down the line. But you're right. We've heard it kind of rumbling for years now that certain agents said their players like, I heard from a player, don't come here. And that's things that are all now obviously bubbling to the surface. And it's hard to know how much that hurt. The Lions were able to get some talented players here in the past 3 years, you know, Trey Flowers and sure, most of them kind of have that kind of Patriots stink on them or whatever you want to call it. But there's no doubt it affected this team's reputation. I think this team's reputation was in a much, 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 much better place when Jim Caldwell was fired. So it's hard to know tangibly how much that affected it, but it certainly did affect the franchise over the past 3 years.
And I know some people would say that all gets jettisoned with Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia, but remember, Rod Wood's still here, and Rod Wood was at the front of a lot of the problems with Calvin Johnson. People will hold that against him. Mike, what do you think about the Lions' reputation right now? Like,
well, to add to what Chris just said, you know, the Lions are the organization that hired these two guys that came in and sort of burned down the Woods. So you look at this, if you're a free agent and you're looking at a team that let that happen, I mean, are you going to want to go there and be a part of what maybe they have coming up? I don't know. You know, I keep thinking about that Sports Illustrated a quote from a couple years ago where the agent said, the players don't want to go play for the Lions, and Matt, I ain't done shit, but I think I'm Bill Belichick, Patricia. And that just sticks in my head. It's been sticking in my head since then. That was after his first season. I mean, that's the way free agents felt then. I don't think that they're going to get any happier, even after they're gone.
Ryan, I don't know where to begin as far as the reputation. So, like, where do the Lions even go to kind of fix this mess?
We've alluded to it enough, and we'll talk to it on the other side of the break, but it starts at the top. And when you have a team president who, in his introductory press conference, says, "I'm not a football guy," I mean, we're still here however many years later, and he's the guy in charge of football stuff. So let's get a plan in place to see who starts making the shots when it comes to football decisions. That's going to be the real tell of whether or not this franchise is heading in the right direction or not.
Absolutely. I want to take a break here. We need to address Twitch chat a little bit outside of the recorded podcast. We are going to come back. We've talked a lot about the past so far. We've talked a lot about the present. We're going to talk a little bit about the future coming up here on the Pride of Detroit POD cast emergency session. Plus, as we've been alluding to about 50 times now, the last standing tree in a forest that should have been burned down, which is Rod Wood, and what we think his future should be, because I think that is important to whatever the next plans of the Lions are. And really, again, what can be done in the next few days to kind of that are going to be critical for the next Lions regime. Stick around. We will be right back on the Pride of Detroit POD cast.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
second part of Instant Reaction, Pride of Detroit PODcast. Yep, me, Jeremy, Mike Payton's here. Ryan Matthews is here. We've got a lot of thoughts to get out right away. I really need to touch on this before we start thinking about the future. I think a lot of our listeners here want to start talking future. Close this chapter already. I don't want to think about it anymore. But there is, I noticed, one lingering ember here in that I feel like the forest has been burned down, cleared for the good of all, except there is a really gnarled tree sitting in the middle. And I sensed it in the first 15 minutes. You guys are not happy that Rod Wood is still standing, Jeremy.
Yeah, and I'll give the full quote from Sheila Fordham to just kind of give you a sense of what's changing with him, which is nothing, because she says, quote, "I have no plans to change what Rod is doing, but we're looking at some organizational chart moves that'll be part of the process." And I guess that last half is the minuscule bit of maybe optimism that you can take, that maybe they are planning on hiring someone that will take over the football side of things. Because while I think Rod Wood has done a fine job on the economical side, he built up some things on Ford Field. He's done some things that fans like. He's maybe even gotten the Lions a couple home games in week 17 while they had been on the road a couple times. That's something that I think a lot of people have given him credit for. He's also been a part of the hiring processes that are so critical to this team's future. I mean, the fact that he was sitting in on interviews to hire Matt Patricia, and maybe that hire just happens anyways with Bob Quinn under, essentially making the final call probably. But the next GM hire is absolutely critical. And for it to go in any other direction than it did with Bob Quinn, they need help. I'm sorry. Like I don't know enough about Sheila Fordham. I don't think her 5, 6, 7 years around the program have necessarily prepared her for this. And we know Rod Wood isn't qualified to do that. So there needs to be some sort of direction at the top. And Rod Wood he's not that guy. I'm sorry, he's not that guy. And am I still sour about the Calvin Johnson thing? Absolutely I am. Am I still sour that part hasn't been, fixed yet? I mean, that's a financial part of the business. Why hasn't that been fixed yet? So to me, I need fresh meat at the top that's basically making every football decision and maybe even a couple of financial decisions, because at this point, I don't want Rod Wood to be interviewing anybody, period.
Yeah, like Rod Wood, at the end of the day, was the one who brought these guys here to begin with, really, but with the Ernie Accorsi, guidance to bring Bob Quinn in, which then brings in Matt Patricia. Kind of, he's the first set of the domino there. And Mike, I think that's important when considering who you want at the head for this next coach and general manager search, because unlike last year, there's no, Caldwell sitting there to guide the ship until you're ready to bring in the next coach. And what Jeremy's saying about Calvin Johnson really has to be emphasized too. Like, we were talking about how bad the reputation of the Lions was trashed among players. Players are still going to see that there, that president who is quibbling with one of your legends is still sitting there.
Yeah, it's incredibly concerning from a free agency aspect. But I think the other problem that the Lions could be looking at is, you mentioned Ernie Accorsi. The NFL helped the Detroit Lions hire Ernie as an advisor to help, bring on Bob Quinn. And that failed. And that's concerning to me when you go to the league to ask for help and you get a guy who fails. And he also failed with the Panthers and he failed with the Bears, and he's failed with the New York Giants. So it's just concerning to me that right now you're really just relying on Rod Wood, who has admitted, "I'm not a football guy." And they did talk about some power structure ideas, just briefly, obviously. But if they want to bring in somebody who's going to help this team win, they got to have a football guy at the top. And if that means that Rod Wood is the co-president, fine with that. He can handle all the economical stuff that the Lions need handled. But somebody with the knowledge of football has to be there. And whether that's like Chris Spielman or whoever you want to go out there and get, it's got to be somebody. But It can't be Rod Wood. And also, please do not hire Ernie Accorsi again, because he's clearly not very good.
The thing with Ernie is, like, he had the history at the time. This was kind of before he really torched a lot of his reputation. I don't know if he's really screwed up the Giants thing. I think that's still wait and see. But Ryan, just where are you sharing these sentiments? Are we still kind of in the dumps because Rod Wood is there?
Yeah, absolutely. Hire Calvin Johnson to do it.
It would be innovative.
I like it.
Calvin Johnson in charge of football operations.
It has the merit of never being done before.
Hey.
Yeah.
Go for it. I mean, look at all the success they had with John Lynch in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Boom. There you go. Boom. But I mean, we've kind of hit it from all aspects. I think Rod Wood does very little to elicit any confidence in any of the decisions he makes when it comes to the football side of the ball. And I don't know how many tangible things he's really done to elicit any confidence or any optimism in, you know, things that are like non-football parts of the business. Like, and I mean, I don't know. I guess this whole COVID season has kind of had an impact on that, because you don't see fans in the stands. And like, it seems like that is the side of the experience that Rod Wood is there to enhance. So I guess that's not totally fair, but I don't, at the same time, like I'm ready to see everything be new. And I think that's the sentiment for a lot of Lions fans, is that they're just ready for a whole new regime, because this one failed miserably.
So Jeremy, looking to the future now, and we'll put Rod Wood aside, because I know it's kind of the terrifying prospect. This guy is still at the top, but looking to the future, you have two very distinct roles that still need to be filled, but it's going to be another package deal for general manager and coach. Are we expecting probably expecting to start hitting up the general manager first, I would imagine? Are you imagining?
Oh yeah.
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 So
they have to.
And, yeah. And so like, what are you, sorry, go on. I had a question to lead up for it. But yeah.
The first step is obviously hiring help. And based on what Sheila Ford Hamp said in her press conference today, that is coming. She said they're probably going to work with a firm. There's already been some rumors that maybe they already attached to some firm. Rod Wood shut those down in his brief comments in the press conference. But they're going to get help, and that help is obviously the first key. I mean, I mentioned it in my kind of 4-point plan after the Thanksgiving game. Like the first key was getting someone up there that knows what they're doing, and hopefully they do that. She did say that they may consult the NFL again as well, so maybe a guy. It's probably not going to be Ernie, of course, given what happened, but maybe they just reference what the NFL and says, well, you know, maybe consider this guy. Who knows? So they need to get all their ducks in a row. Again, she was very vague on her plans there, whether, we're going to try everything. We're going to go see everything, and sure, go ahead, do everything. But make sure you get someone, and yeah. And then at that point, I think you're just finding general managers who have a plan in place, and you have what that plan is. I mean, again, they're probably all going to be vague. Like, we want to build a winner. We want to build a tough team, blue clower, blah, 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 whatever. The word I would love to hear from the next general manager is innovative. I want someone who's playing in this millennium of football. I want someone who uses analytics other than yards per carry, because maybe that's the only one that Matt Patricia seemed to enjoy. I want one that values speed on both sides of the ball, because this regime was all about big and bulky and strong. Give me speed, because everyone's spreading out the ball these days. And I know the NFL is cyclical, but right now, if you want to win, you got to have speedy guys. And so those are the key things I want from a general manager. I don't know necessarily who those people are. I know a lot of people are like Luis Reddick, all of these other, NFL Network draft guys. We'll get into all those things in the future, but right now I'm just looking for someone who's forward thinking and wants speed and accepts modern football for what it is right now.
Wrapping up on Jeremy's for the next front office is SEC speed. Ryan, exactly. Ryan, so let's go to you. I want to pick your mind castle here. He's tall, dark, and handsome. The first name that's popping into your mind. What are you looking for in your next head general manager and or head coach for your Detroit Lions?
It's pretty similar to Jeremy, but I just don't want to draft linebackers who aren't 260 pounds. I want somebody to come in with a plan to... Here's the thing, too, is that the GM doesn't only need to come in and say, I want to do things this way. Like, he needs to come in with a plan to say, I'm going to do everything I can to mitigate the problems that are with this roster right now, too. Like, he has to have a plan in place, or she has to have a plan in place, to change things completely. And it's... this isn't going to be a quick ride. It's not going to be a quick rebuild. And we've talked about that time and time and time again. It's going to take time to kind of drudge up all this rot that's on the Lions roster that have ties to the Patriots. I mean, Jamie Collins is no spring chicken. He's been the Lions' best linebacker, but Danny Shelton, is Danny Shelton going to fit into the next head coach's plans? I mean, there's so many players that you have to consider and say, like, I mean, Desmond Trufant, like, that was a signing that has clearly just not worked at all. And, you know, Trey Flowers is on such a big contract, and Justin Coleman, and, you know, Halepuli Polyvitai. Like, I mean, that's another one that's just like, the new GM who has to come in has to have a plan to fix all of the problems that Bob Quinn has created.
Yeah, it's, I think the next few years is probably gonna be like a snake molting its skin as you just shed short-term contracts or a short-term contract, rookie deals expiring after rookie deal expiring until it's completely new. Mike, what are you looking for in the new regime and the way forward?
It's really simple for me. I'm with everything that Jeremy and Ryan said, but you have to be able to adapt because everything changes. You got to be able to adapt. And it's clearly something that Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia were not ever going to do. They were pretty sure that everything that they had in place was going to work. If you just keep on pounding away at it, it's going to work eventually. But no, you got to have somebody that could do the simple things like, hey, this Adrian Peterson guy, he's not that great of a running back. Let's try something else. I mean, it's just that simple. But, you know, I don't know if that coach is out there. So they're probably going to do what every team does, and that's try to rebuild another team in Detroit. They're going to try to be the next Patriots or the next whoever. And if you're going to do that, you got to look at a team like Seattle, who is continuously circulating good players in and out, making all the right moves all the time. They're perennial playoff contenders. So if you want to build your team to be like somebody else, why not look at somebody like that, like Seattle or like the Baltimore Ravens? Just stay away from New England altogether because it's killing teams. It's just murdering.
No,
teams
I think, right and now. I think this was the last Patriot way guy to come out of New England, partly because I don't think there's anyone else to poach there. Josh McDaniel is, for all accounts, apparently going to be the next man after Bill Belichick, if you go by what Bill himself is kind of hinted towards. I don't think anyone else is coming out of New England. Sorry, Jeremy, continue.
Well, no, I was just going to say, I like the word adaptability, and I think it goes beyond just, you know, X's and O's adaptability. It goes on adaptability, especially if we're talking head coach here, in terms of adaptability to the players and their deposition and their imposition, the way they react. Like, I want a guy who, you know, can deal with a guy like Darius Slay, who's silly and fun and whatever. I want a guy who can also kind of be an authoritarian at time. Like, you know, just give each player the individual care that they need to get the best out of each of them. Because we all know Matt Patricia was, you know, all stick and no carrot. And so at this point, you need a guy who can utilize both. You need a guy who's adaptable to all sorts of player personalities and getting the most out of it, because that's what a true leader is. And forget all the X's and O's and schemes and defensive failures. The biggest failure that Matt Patricia really had in this team was his inability to lead. And so that's that. If we're talking coach, I need a leader first. That, I mean, yes, I want a Sean McVay brilliant mind offensive scheme. That in my personal preference is an offensive scheme guy, but give me a guy that knows how to lead. Give me a guy that will rally the troops without denigrating them.
Yeah.
That seems very simple, but apparently it's not a given in this NFL culture.
Still not. All right. Last point here before we slam the time card on this particular podcast. I think we, Jeremy, you mentioned kind of the future when it comes to this roster itself. Only $13 million in cap space, I believe, next year per over the cap.
The cap hasn't been.
There's going to be some cap casualties, yeah. But like right now, projecting to that. But then, you know, you got 40 players under contract next year. You can probably have a few outs there. 2022, 23 players total. 2023, only 14. 2024, only 2. So as I said, like a lot is going to get slawed off here. And I mean, some of those obviously you have outs or you can cut some guys there. But the point is, I think over the next 3 years, like you do have the chance to just completely, like let's just look to 2021. How many guys are really going to even be sticking around, either because they're part of whatever comes next, because they're good enough to still be a Detroit Lion for the future, or because they're just sick of it and kind of want out of town? Like, I mean, obviously we're looking at Kenny Golladay. I think I can safely say Golladay is probably going to hit that free market, but yeah, you're shrugging because we just don't know. Well, but yeah, like
we don't.
But that's part of what happens with the regime change, is that there's just going to be that kind of upheaval.
And we should mention, because we mentioned it during the break, not during the podcast, he had a reaction, a very public reaction to the firing of Matt Patricia, mm-hmm. liking the Instagram post from NFL's Instagram account. So, I mean, maybe that's one of the first questions you ask your general manager in their interviews is, if we were to hire you, what are you planning to do about Kenny Golladay? And I don't know. I can't even put a percentage on it because I don't know who's going to be making that decision, obviously. But yeah, I mean, if you're talking big scale, what's left of this franchise, there's not really a lot of pieces on defense. We've talked about it a lot. I think you have to keep some guys because of their contract, like Trey Flowers, and he's a talented player you probably want anyways. Otherwise, you're relying on Jeff Okuda to hopefully get coached up a whole bunch. And am I already out of players? Maybe.
Probably.
Offensively, there's at least a foundation there with at least three of your five offensive lineman pieces for the future there. And
DeAndre Swift's young too. Yeah.
Swift, Hockenson are your two offensive pieces that you're probably going to build around as well. Wide receiver becomes a big question. Quarterback is obviously a huge question. What they do with Matthew Stafford, again, probably one of your bigger questions you're asking your general manager during the interview process, but it's not a ton. It's not a big foundation. So yeah, there's going to be a lot of work to do.
So, Mike, I guess I want to format this in a different way to you, looking towards the future, is for the next guy coming in, what's the plan as far as him building, be it in the draft, free agency? Where are those priorities going right away?
I think right away it's going to be free agency. I mean, you have right now the only wide receivers that are slated to be on the books is Geronimo Allison and Quintez Cephas. I mean, that's a big, big problem.
Yeah, I guess I meant like where positionally, you know, where do you see them going?
Yeah. Oh, positionally, look, Matthew Stafford's staying, so they're going to be looking for wide receivers. They're going to be looking for, because again, I think all those guys are gone. Definitely going to be looking for players on the defensive line, because it's, and in linebackers, you know, the linebacking core, as Ryan mentioned, there's way too many big people on the field right now. I'm a big guy, so nothing against big people. But there's clearly some needs there in the secondary as well. I mean, it's almost scorched earth at this point. You got to start and go after everything in free agency. You're going to have money to spend. Better spend it.
Ryan, closing question I have to you then is, since we're talking about scorched earth, Mike made his opinion clear right there. But what does the future of Matt Stafford look like? Because we know quite well he doesn't like working with he's been kind of loath to work with more coordinators again. And what's the future kind of hold with him on this team?
It's an interesting question. And I think the hot trend in the NFL, right, is to go out and get the quarterback on the rookie deal. And you know, we made such a big deal about when Bob Quinn came in and then when Matt Patricia got the job, that, you know, both of those had to be hires that, you know, Quinn and Patricia had to been elated about because they had a franchise quarterback in town. And it seemed like they were set up for success. All they had to do was add a few finishing touches. This new GM, I'd have to imagine that if the option is the unknown quarterback or Matthew Stafford, I know that if I was the general manager, I would probably want at least another year of Matthew Stafford because that buys me more time. And with the Lions being in the current draft position that they're in right now, they might not have the opportunity to get the guy that they necessarily want, whoever that general manager may be, whoever that head coach may be. So I think this one is a tricky one for sure. I mean, I could very easily see it being like a 50-50 thing.
Yeah.
In terms of whether or not Matthew Stafford is the quarterback next season.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that will come in his cap hit in 2021, which is going to come down from 2020, but it's still going to be a pretty decent chunk. You know, I think it's like 25 million dead cap and 35 million in live cap there. So, but then it comes down in 2022. But yeah, we've kind of hit the self-fulfilling prophecy, Jeremy, of Matt Patricia. When he said he came in, there was a lot of work to do. And well, he's gone, and now there's a lot of work to do.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot more work to do, which is why I think maybe the GM is just like, you know what, let's move on from Stafford. Like, no, there's no expectation in 2021 at this point. So maybe you're just like, let's just get a head start on something new.
Do you think that oh, yeah, go on real quick. We got to wrap up. Yeah, go on.
I'm sorry to jump in, but I have to combat that a little bit because I'm looking at this a lot like the 2009 Lions, when it was like nobody would take the job, you know, and Jim Schwartz was like, hey, I'll do it pretty much. So I think that you're using Matthew Stafford as a selling point. You're selling GMs and head coaches to come to you now. I mean, who wants to take the job, be the next Lions head coach who could potentially ruin their entire career? I mean, it's going to make things a little bit easier knowing that you have an established quarterback, one that's as good as Matthew Stafford there. I think that's your bargaining chip. I think that's your selling point.
I haven't put too many of my opinions on here, but just because of how the contract is settled and his age, I don't think at this point Stafford's anything more than a bridge. And any guy who is going to come in is probably, he's going to look at this as a full rebuild job, as like, hey, I get to put my stamp on from ground zero, and that means there will be a young quarterback, probably not in the 2021 draft, but 2022, absolutely, if they haven't taken one by then. And again, Stafford's cap is movable, and it is kind of, unfortunately, the beginning of the end of his career. So I don't, yeah. Yeah, a lot of work to do, and I've completely, Jeremy, we've got a lot of work to do, Jeremy. We've got a lot of work to do.
I mean, we've got our own little coaching candidate search we have to do and GM search that we're going to do. And we're going to provide all that on Pride Detroit in the next week or so, because I don't imagine there are a ton of people that are interested in the Bears next week and Lions versus Mitchell Trubisky part 7. That's probably not going to be pleasant for either side of the field. So, yeah, make sure to tune into Pride of Detroit for all that sort of fun stuff.
Because,
man, yeah, we'll still cover it and watch it. But obviously there's... We're gonna pivot at this point because there's more things on the horizon.
I'm gonna watch because I'm in sicko mode. I'm just sickos game. Haha, yes. With that, we do need to wrap up. I said we wanted to keep this short. I'm gonna hold myself to that. So Jeremy Reisman at Detroit Online, Mike Payton at POD Payton, Ryan Matthews at Ryan_POD. Everyone, thank you for joining us. We're gonna have another podcast here for our Monday morning podcast. Coming up, we're going to go more in depth of what we think the future is going to be, and talking about just, yeah, this is the hot topic for you for December. You know, we've got the Black Friday shopping is done, and as the holidays, it's time to argue with in-laws, as it were. So we'll see you guys next time. See you star-side.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best. whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smart Water Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.